some associates of the Supreme Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani are so exalted and substantial that they can be practically taken as the whole. Everything can be attributed to them. Their stature, their status is that important that we can say sometimes they even exceed that of Radha and Krishna. And that is the case with Lalita Sakhi, Lalita Devi, who's the right arm attendant of Srimati Radharani. It goes from Radharani to Lalita Bishaka. And then Mahaprabhu's Leela, Swarup Damodar. So we often refer to this line as the Rupanuga line, meaning the followers of Srila Rupa Goswami, and certainly it is. And sometimes on Sanatana Nuga or Jiva Nuga, and have to mention Raghunath Das, of course. But generally told is the Rupanuga line. But we can say that Rupa Goswami's Rupa, Sri Rupa's superior is Lalita Sakhi, Lalita Devi. And her position is preeminent. So one of her names is Anuradha. That means like there's Radha and Anuradha, and this kind of means like next to. If there's Radha, then Anu, little bit. I mean, Anu can also mean small, junior, in different ways, but like Radha, junior. I remember when I gave this one girl Harinam, she's Bengali, and I gave her that name. I said, "Do you know what it means?" And she said, "Baby Radha." I couldn't argue with that. So sweetly, she said, "Baby Radha." And I said, "All right." But Lalita Sakhi, though we think of almost as, in some regard, a superior, this is what I'm trying to say. No one is equal to Srimati Radharani, but Lalita Sakhi is so intense and exclusive in her dedication to Radharani that sometimes she thinks that she knows better than Radharani, and she does. Radharani cannot always deal with Krishna. We can imagine Krishna sometimes could be difficult to deal with, if he wants to be difficult. Absolutely difficult, divinely difficult. And in their divine pastimes. So sometimes Radharani cannot hold her own with Krishna, but Lalita Sakhi is there to chastise Krishna and tell Radharani how to deal with him. That's called pragalbham. Guru Maharaj rendered it as haughty, but it can mean also a little bold, boldly arrogant, arrogantly bold. But saying, and Rupa Goswami in his prayer in the Lalita Astakam is saying, we who are her followers, and he considers himself one, saying, we don't see it as being rough or an undesirable quality. We see it as sweet. We're rejoicing in that sort of behavior that comes from her. Because it's on account of her love for Srimati Radharani. So it's a very peculiar thing, and we can't say much about it. But Guru Maharaj would say, three groups. Those who are equally disposed towards Radha and Krishna is one group. And that makes sense. Everyone can, equally disposed toward both. He said, then there are some, they favor Krishna a little more. Then we can say, all right, Krishna. We can understand that. But there's another group, they favor Radharani more. And that is the line of Lalita Sakhi and Rupa Goswami. They favor Radharani more than Krishna. And this is a very peculiar thing, considering who Krishna is and what is his position. So, Paramananda. Saraswati Thakur had a disciple named Paramananda who came to him when he was a boy. And he was like, Guru Maharaj said, pet disciple of Saraswati Thakur, and traveled with him in different ways and had sort of unfettered access. Later, Guru Maharaj said, there were certain people who could walk in Saraswati Thakur's room without knocking, maybe two or three. They didn't have to knock, that type of intimacy. But so when on the Brajamandal Parikrama in Vrindavan, Paramananda, he's like a teenage boy, and he went out and he saw, as we've seen, Shyamakunda, Radhakunda, and the people are circumambulating, but one style, you can say indicated in that Sadhguru Swami asked Sankhya Purvaka Namagana Natibi Kalavi, etc. That there's a way of doing dandavats where the parikrami will stand, recite some prayer, then do one dandavat, then move up the length of the body, stand up, recite a prayer, and do another dandavat. And then in that way, instead of just walking around, they're circumambulating Shyamakunda and Radhakunda through dandavats. And I knew someone from the Gaudiya Math times who was reciting the Radha Rasa Shuddha Nidhi. And then everyone has some version they're doing. But Paramananda Prabhu, he saw that this Maharaj, there are kings and queens in India and those things, this Maharaj and his family, king-type Maharaj, how they were doing this for Radha. And he's a king, his wife is a Rani, a queen, and they're doing this. So he got very excited. Thought, wow, a king, a queen, and a little prince, princes, they're doing this. And so he came excited to report to Saraswati Thakur and said, Prabhu, is there also calling him Prabhu sometimes? Prabhu, they have so much devotion to Radharani. Because he was thinking, that's supposed to be our group. We're supposed to be the group who have the exclusive devotion to Radharani. So seeing that they're showing this type of reverence for Radha Kunda, he is very excited to report that to Saraswati Thakur. And then Saraswati Thakur said, they do. He said, but there is a big difference between them and us. Saying, in their conception, Krishna is in the primary position. And because Radharani is dear to Krishna, they're worshipping Radharani. She's most dear to Krishna. We're devotees of Krishna, so we revere her. He said, but our conception is just the opposite of that. That in our conception, Radharani is in the primary position. And because Krishna is dear to Radharani, then we have anything to do with Krishna. Very beautifully, he's expressing that. And in general context, they're like Gaudiya, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and then one of the other groups, they're called Shaktas. It means they worship Shakti, Devi, the goddess as being supreme. And they're usually at odds with Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas say, no, Vishnu, Krishna, supreme. And Shakti, Shaktiman, they're saying, no, Devi, Ma Kali, Durga, Ma Durga. They're in the supreme position. But so they're usually identified as Shaktas. But in this instance, Srila Saraswati Thakur said, we are Shuddha Shaktas. Shuddha means pure. He's saying, we're worshippers of the ultimate female potency, which is Srimati Radharani. Srila Saraswati Thakur indicated in one of his talks that Durga Devi, while a goddess in the Saguna plane of the material world, she is also a Brajagopi in Vrindavan. This is some, like her seva, to be a goddess, the goddess of the material world. And mentioned when Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Bhagavat, the house of Chandrasekhar, he said, tells Chandrasekhar, get all the paraphernalia. When I have a play, and in that play, I'll be Rukmini. I'm going to be Shakti. And it's called Devi Bhav. And the others, they're so, and he has to get the female dress and everything. And so, and they have an audience, and Mahaprabhu, they come out, and he's dressed as variously according to the hearts of the devotees. They're saying, in some instances, Durga Devi, Ma Kali, others, but Lakshmi, Rukmini, but even Srimati Radharani herself. So there are hints there in that Leela where this is going. But there is mentioned as Adya Shakti. And once when Gurudev was asking for names, because I was reading, I said, well, what about Adya Shakti? And he said, that's the name of Devi. But it means, and I understand that, but it means in one sense, like the original Shakti. And so I was thinking like, well, but if we take it to the original position, it must indicate Srimati Radharani. Right? But Gurudev wasn't having it, any of it. Because he knows also in Bengal, you know, Devi means this. Like, Devi just alone means Shakti. Like, how popular is Durga Puja in Bengal? It's just, if you say the word puja, it means Durga Puja. And they're saying, are you looking forward to puja this year? Yes, it means Durga Puja. It can't, it doesn't mean anything else. Right? So, Jai Ma Kali Kolkata Wali. But Saraswati Thakur was saying, yes, as in Brahma Sanyata, Chayeva Yasya Bhuvanani Bibarti Durga. Chaya means shadow. These goddesses in the Saguna plane in the material world, they're a shadow of the original chit potency. That's the point I mean to make. And again, in Brahma Sanyata, he says, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis Tadbirya Eva Nijarupataya Kalabi Goloka Eva Nivisat Akilatma Bhuto Govinda Mari Purusham Tamahamvajami. As Krishna expands into so many, you know, to Balaram, to the quadruple, second quadruple, all the Vishnus, all the many Vishnus of Vaikuntha, the Purusha avatars, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, Kiradakshaya Vishnu, the Guna avatars, Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu, the Leela avatars, the Manvantar, Yuga avatars, so many. But it's saying, Radharani, she's also expanding. So, in Dwaraka, as the Mahishigan, means the queens of Dwaraka. But what's so beautiful is that in all these expansions, when there is an expansion, that person, that expansion has a unique personality. Like same, same, but different. Achintya Bheda Bheda. Another Brahma Sangita example. Departure Eva Abhupetya. I forget. But saying like, when you take a candle and you light another candle. And you can light another candle. All the candles, in one sense, they're equal in power of giving heat and light. But there's still this one original candle who lit the other ones. That's the example that's given there. So they're simultaneously the same as the original, but unique and have their own unique personality, qualities, traits, characteristics. So, but that is for the higher section of the devotees to assess and identify. Right? So, Srila Rupa Goswami, who better than Rupa Goswami? Well, Braganath also. He has this Lalita Astakam. And one of the verses there is very giving us some insight, like what is unique about her. You can say so many general, spiritually flattering things, and I don't mean flattering in a superficial way, but I mean, you know, substantial, like wonderful qualities, traits, characteristics. But the higher devotees, and Srila Guru Maharaj has this capacity too, they can identify unique traits and characteristics that are unique to that person. Not just general words like divine and, you know, wonderful and dear, earnest, beautiful. That could apply to all. But what would be the unique qualities and characteristics? That would take someone, first of all, who knows that person very well, right? Not just read about it, heard about it, has some general idea, but knows from practical personal experience what this person is like, what their personality is like. Because people have, even we have ways of showing ourselves in a group, you know, males, females, many of the complexities of social interaction. We're not always showing our full selves. In fact, usually people, they're hoping they can find someone who could, they could really reveal what they're like fully to, and that someone would appreciate that. That may not happen. No. I just wanted to see the look on your faces as I said that. But it's a fact. That's why Krishna is uniquely qualified to be sympathetic to who we are. We're always looking for someone, and it's just, I mean, it's sarvapadi vinirmuktam. One meaning of upadi is substitute. And when it comes to Krishna consciousness, accept no substitute. Okay? Krishna alone and those who belong to Krishna knows you and your heart and everything, your whole history, like with Arjuna. Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacharjuna. Krishna tells Arjuna, because Arjuna's wondering, like, how did you saying you spoke this karma yoga to the sun god, Vivaswan, but that was like 140 million years ago. How did you do that? And Krishna said, Arjuna, many births you and I have had, I remember all of mine. You don't. And you know what else? I remember all of yours. And that's the good news for us. Is there is somebody who knows more about us than we know about ourselves. Because even our own knowledge about ourselves is limited to more or less this lifetime. And in the case of New Age people, a few lifetimes. But Krishna, he knows everything about us, actually. Everything. So, Srila Rupa Goswami is uniquely positioned to make these observations about Lalita Sakhi. Because there's Radha, Lalita Bishaka, and then Rupa Rati, like that. He's uniquely positioned to observe her qualities, characteristics. And one of the verse slokas there that Guru Maharaj, Guru, everyone loves, is Radha Mukunda Parasambhava Garma Bindo. Nirmanchano pakurani kritadeha laksham utunga sohrida vishesha vashat pragalbam. Devim gunai sulalitam lalitam namami. It's very beautiful. And the poetry and what is expressed there. And he's giving some insight to her quality and characteristics and saying, she cannot tolerate the least disturbance for Radha and Krishna. And this is, it's actually very profound and has some practical aspect in the world of the aspiring servitors. Actually, she's so dead that everything must be perfect for them. It's mentioned here, Garmabindu, in terms of like a drop of sweat. If she observes a drop of sweat, she has to remove that. Everything has to be perfect. But to translate this into a principle to understand, as Guru Maharaj put it this way, she possesses the greatest magnitude of eagerness for the least aspect of seva. In that way, we can understand it. The least type of service, she has the greatest magnitude, an unlimited magnitude of eagerness for that seva. And how is it shown? Deho laksham, Rupa Goswami is saying. Like normally, in the world, we revere those who are willing to give their life for a cause, whatever it is. When someone's willing to sacrifice their life, for it could be a mother for her children, a soldier for his country, whatever it is, a husband for his wife, you know, and many scenarios are made. But whenever someone's willing to do that, they call it the ultimate sacrifice, and they're revered. We remember those who like gave their lives for the greater good of the country, that kind of thing, in different ways. That principle of self-sacrifice is revered universally. Right? But here, Rupa Goswami is mentioning something that's even more marvelous than that. Saying, Deho Laksham, Radha Mukunda Kvadavim is Garmavindu, Nirmanchana Prakriyane, Krita Deho Laksham. To do this seva, her seva for Radha and Krishna, she takes on Deho Laksham, means a lakh, 100,000 bodies. She's going in the other direction. Right? And there's two of her, there's 10,000, there's 100,000 of her. So think of that, if this were a military campaign, it's very, you have this one soldier who's willing to give his life for the cause, and we're applauding that, right? As we should. But we've got this other soldier who becomes 100,000 soldiers at the time of necessity. What kind of soldier is that? Transforms into 100,000 or a million soldiers. Very valuable soldier. Maybe the most valuable. Rupa Goswami is saying that she's like that. And what is she? And she's prepared to expand herself unlimitedly to ensure that not the least disturbance will go into that plane. So their pastimes can go on, what's the word, unfettered or undisturbed. Right? And then he mentions this word, pragalbam, as I told you before, haughty, bold, someone arrogant, that, and also Krishna, she won't tolerate any misbehavior on the part of Krishna towards Radharani. That's inconceivable. Because someone could argue, but Krishna, you know, Ishvara Parama Krishna, right? Autocrat, despot, liar, Krishna. Bhaktaram Yagya Tapasam Krishna. I mean, shouldn't he get it? You just said the other day, Guru Maharaj said, you know, if there's any check on his autocracy, autocrat despot, then we're losers. And here you're saying, this person has the audacity to chastise the absolute truth. This, and who's pointing this out? Rupa Goswami. He's trying to tell you something about the glories of Lalita Sakhi. She can chastise Krishna on behalf of Srimati Radharani. And what we can say too, we can understand from Chaitanya Charitamritam. Or in Krishna says, when my, that Bart Sun slogan, when he says, when my beloved chastises me, it's so sweet. It's mind-stealing sweet. It steals my mind away from the reverential hymns of the Vedas. So you have the personified Vedas on one side, they're praying, you, Krishna, you are the supreme. Your many avatars descend from time to time to save the fallen souls in the world. Your glories are unlimited. And they're just going on and on with praise of Krishna. And then Radharani or Lalita Sakhi, they're chastising Krishna. And he's saying, that is so sweet to me. I can't concentrate on these hymns of the Vedas saying how great I am. And Radharani, Lalita is saying, you're not so great. And that's captured Krishna. And saying, and you should never treat her like that, ever. If you see me, you know. And Krishna is saying, all right, I understand, this is very serious. As Guru said, what would you do if the order comes down to the group, like sometimes Radharani feeling mistreated, or sends the order that if Krishna comes to her kunja, he's to be refused admittance. Who can do that? You know, there's like, you know, it's Krishna. I'm saying, I'm sorry, but you're not allowed to enter. Shut the door in his face. But they're not doing this as a slight to Krishna. It's what Rupa Goswami is pointing out. It's how much love and affection and allegiance they have to Radharani. They're always promoting her and always taking her side. When anything happens, they're taking the side of Radharani. That's the line. And what, again, on the, how bold is she? Another verse, he says, Yad Kamapi Brajakule Brishabhanu Jaya Yad Preksha Padavim Anuradramanam. I forget the rest, but this is very interesting. Lalita Sakhi is moving in the plane of Vrindavan. Remember, Vrindavan is the exclusive domain of the highest section of liberated souls. Only they are there, moving in that plane. And we're told, what is she doing? She's canvassing. These are, you know, the Bhakta, I mean, they're pure, perfect devotees who are in the spiritual world in Krishna's own planet. She's canvassing them to join her group. Because she believes what they're doing is superior to what they're doing. And it's worthy of increasing the members. But you say, well, wait a minute, they're already totally liberated souls. They're acting in terms of their rasa in the spiritual world. In some instances, she's taking someone from another rasa, like a cowherd boy, and transforming them into a gopi in her group. She's that intense, as was the case of Shyamananda Prabhu, right? Who was actually, by his eternal position, and that can be discussed at another time from an analytical point of view, but was a cowherd boy. So that's fixed, it's over, it's done, I mean, that's forever. But in some instance, she took him and transformed him into a gopi in her group. So say, and not only that, so she's canvassing, and Guru Maharaj said, and others are approaching her and offering themselves to enter her group. Is that special and that exalted? And we know when Krishna, right, as again given by Rupa Goswami, recorded in Chaitanya Charitamritam, aparam kasyapi pranayi janabindasya kutuki rasotstamam hritva hitva maduram boktum upaboktum kamapiya rucham swama vavre dutim iha tariyam sacha tanyas devaskriti atitaram na kripayatu. When Krishna, seeing the billions and trillions of gopis in the Rasa Lila, when Radharani left after singing and dancing so marvelously, it counseled all the others. Krishna left the billions and trillions of gopis and went in search of Radharani alone. And seeing her type of qualities that are unparalleled, it awakened in Krishna the curiosity to experience what is it like to be Srimati Radharani. So he descends as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Radha Pranaya Mahima Kidushovana Eva Svadyo Svadyo Yena Adbhuta Madhurima Kidusham Va Madhya Sokyam Chasha Mananubhavata Kidusham Veti Lobha Tad Bhavadya Samajani Sachi Garba Sindhu Hrindu. To taste the sweetness of the love of Srimati Radharani that she alone experiences, what she's tasting, and the ecstasies of her heart, particularly in separation from Krishna. But so in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, the remainder, we're told, when he takes the heart and halo of Radharani, the remainder is Gadadhar, Gadadhar Pandit. So Gadadhar Pandit, being Radharani herself, is in a unique position to understand what Mahaprabhu is experiencing. But who is always with Mahaprabhu, and who is called Mahaprabhu Dutiya Kalevar, like Mahaprabhu the second, Mahaprabhu's second self, his other body, is Swarup Damodar, who is the bandari, the keeper of the storehouse of these ecstatic emotions that are the Bhav Murti. It's like the mirror reflection of what is in the heart of Srimati Radharani. Krishna's experiencing that as Mahaprabhu. But part of that experience, as we hear, like in the Brahmar Gita, is divine madness. It's so intense. When the bumblebee comes to, when Uddhava is visiting, delivering a message to Radharani and Brajagopis, this big bumblebee who's yellow and black comes bumbling through the air and Radharani is thinking like black and yellow, it's like Krishna. And she starts saying all these accusatory things to that bumblebee. Like he's Krishna and he has, you know, from the pollen on the flowers, on his whiskers, and he has many things she's thinking about. And she's chastising that bee as if it is Krishna himself. So it means, it's defined by our charges, 10 different types of this divine madness that is beyond what we can speak, comprehend, or understand. But Mahaprabhu, what are his two zenith points of separation? Kurukshetra, Radharani and Brajagopis meet Krishna after 100 years of separation. Those who cannot tolerate the blink of an eye. Atati kananam trutir yugayate tomapashyatam and kutila kuntalam srimukam jate yadu dikshatam pakmakrid drisham. Atati kananam yananam kananam. Anyway. From Gopi Gate, the same. They're cursing Brahma for making eyelids that blink. That's the intensity of the Gopi vision. To curse Brahma, our eyes blink and we're deprived of seeing the beauty of Krishna for that instant. So these separation points, and we're told behind closed doors in Jagannath Puri, Swarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy, that particular, the Brahmar Gita, divine madness. So what this means is because Krishna himself admits that he could not estimate the greatness and the extent of the love in the heart of Srimati Radharani. And he wants to experience that. But he's Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalita, enveloped in the heart and halo of Radharani. He's in what we can say is terra incognita. It's a terrain, a land previously unknown to him. Because why? As the supreme enjoyer, that position is contrary to the devotional position. So as the supreme enjoyer, Krishna cannot, he can understand theoretically, but he cannot taste what a devotee tastes from that position. He has to himself become a devotee to taste that. As I've pointed out, when they bring the kheer from Gopinath, Kheerachur Gopinath, that was given to Madhavendra Puri when Mahaprabhu is visiting, they're bringing to him. And someone could say, well, but he is Gopinath. So he's already, the bhog was offered to Gopinath. Yes, that's one type of taste. Right? Bhog, that was given to Gopinath. But what Mahaprabhu, who's Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalita, he wants to taste the prasadam of Gopinath. That's different. Let's touch the nectar of the lips of Krishna. It's a different, categorically different substance than what is given to Krishna. And that is what he's eager for. He wants to take the prasad of Gopinath and relish that from the position of a devotee. So when Raghunath Das Goswami joined Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu put him under the care of Swarup Damodar. And he was known as Swarupa Raghunath, like Swarup's Raghu, because there is different Raghunaths. Swarup's. That's how he was identified. And he accepted that. But after a while, he was thinking, he wanted to approach Mahaprabhu for some personal instructions. And Mahaprabhu said, I can give you some personal instructions. And he did. He said, but the reason I put you under the care of Swarup Damodar is what I don't know, he knows fully. Now we could think, maybe he's just being polite, or it's some sort of what, how can he say, what I don't know, he knows fully. In this way, when he's lost in the divine madness of the love of Srimati Radharani, he is unaware of so many things. And who, when Radharani is in that condition herself, who is beside her, guiding her, assisting her, singing songs to her, supplying slokas, things that will either amplify certain sentiments in the heart or bring some relief to the heart feeling separation? That is Lalita Sakhi or Swarup Damodar. So what Mahaprabhu is saying is true. He's saying, what I don't know, he knows. This is new for me to experience this position. He's always with her, knows everything about what she experiences. And when I go into the depths of Radha Bhav, Swarup Damodar will be there to assist me. Swarup and Ramananda. But we're giving particular emphasis here to Swarup Damodar. As Rupa Goswami says elsewhere, Swarupam Bidbrano Jagatatulyam Adaita Daita. Swarupam Bidbrano Jagatatulyam means Swarup Damodar's position is incomparable. It means it's unique. There's no one who has this, the insight of Swarup Damodar. Guru Maharaj in his Bhaktivinoda Viradasakam, when he's assessing as I told, as Sri Rupa does in the case of Lalita Sakhi, Guru Maharaj were assessing Mahaprabhu, Swarup Damodar, Sanatana Goswami, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath, etc. It says, Sri Gauranumutam Swarupa Biditam. Only Swarup Damodar knows fully the appearance of Mahaprabhu. When Rupa Goswami writes his sloka, parallel sloka to Yat Kumara Hara Priya Soyam Krishna, Mahaprabhu says, asks Swarup Damodar, how could Rupa know this? Swarup Damodar knows, They already know. He's saying, this should be something only the two of us know. How does Rupa know this? And Swivdhamita said, you must have revealed it to him. But this conversation is predicated upon the understanding that Swarup Damodar, of course, knows these things. So Swarup Damodar's position is unique. And it is Swarup Damodar, Lalita Sakhi, Swarup Damodar, who kept this notebook of all of these confidential pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that were unknown to everyone else. It's something we have to consider carefully. But there was the Chaitanya Bhagavat of Vrindavan Das Thakur, and he's called the Vyas of Chaitanya Leela. And that there are the pastimes of Mahaprabhu, his birth, his childhood pastimes, pastimes as a scholar, up until he takes sannyas, and then it more or less abruptly ends. But that was the, you know, biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is wonderful and beautiful. We worship it every day of our lives, and it satisfies and nourishes all the devotees and brings them extreme joy and an endless stream of nectar into their hearts. And it's all like that Haridas Pandit. It's like the moon with so many stars when he would speak Chaitanya Bhagavan in Vrindavan. And it said, like rivers of nectar descending from the moon is how they described it, he being the moon. But there are certain things that were known only to Swarup Damodar and his assistant. Who is his assistant? Raghunath Das Goswami. Or Mahaprabhu said, what I don't know, he knows it, and that's why I put you under the care of Swarup Damodar. It's not, don't think of it as a demotion. It's a promotion. I've put you next to the best. So that Swarup Damodar has all of this insight, things only observed by him, perhaps Ramananda, Raghunath by extension. And he's recording these in a notebook called Karacha, but we're told in a concise way. Raghunath Das Goswami is taking those things and expanding upon them. Then the Rath Yatra day comes. And it's always been interesting to note, we see as a subhead, it says, disappearance day of Swarup Damodar Goswami. And Gurudev told something in Koikali about that when you're saying, if Swarup Damodar, basically, like this, Swarup Damodar cannot live a moment without Mahaprabhu. And so many times, he's sent searching to find Mahaprabhu, finding him in the sea, taking it to be Jamuna at the Chatak Parvat, taking it to be Govardhan in front of the Shingadwar. So many divine paths. They have to go searching, lead the torch-lit party in the night to find Mahaprabhu. But Gurudev is saying, on this day, he could not find Mahaprabhu. So Raghunath Das Goswami, his everything, is Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar. He cannot go on without them. He's thinking, I will go have darshan of Radha Kunda and Govardhan and then throw myself from Govardhan, like, and finish my life. But we're told when he goes to Vrindavan and there are Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, and he thinks, oh, Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar are alive and Rupa and Sanatan. So he gets some encouragement and he goes on living and basically in Govardhan, Nija Nikata Nivasa Dehi Govardhanatvam. And his assistant is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So that Raghunath Das Goswami, who's like, he's the pot, but like receptacle, he's got all of Swarup Damodar's notes, and they're in Raghunath Das, his own notes. He's got all of this that's unknown outside of this intimate circle of devotees. We take this for granted. We hear these things from the very beginning. We don't understand how confidential this actually is. So only these few know. It's unknown to the even very high level devotees do not know these things. When they hear these things from Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami after the departure of Raghunath Das Goswami, they're begging him, Prabhu, you have to make a book and write these things down, otherwise no one will ever know. And can you imagine that? If there was no Chaitanya Charitamritam, things we take for granted would never have been known. I mean, ultimately, nothing is lost in the eternal world, but it would be the greatest loss to this world. So that the Chaitanya Charitamritam, which Guru Maharaj said, the greatest scripture ever seen the light of day in all time, all space, and all creations, is based upon the eyewitness firsthand observations of Swarup Damodar. And referring to those slokas given by Swarup Damodar, Guru Maharaj said, the superstructure upon which the Chaitanya Charitamrita will be built is there. So, in one sense, that I mentioned, alluded to in the beginning, he's responsible for everything. And really it's his line, but it's the Rupa Nuga line, his principle, Lalita Sakhi's principle, assistant Sri Rupa, and Srup Damodar, Raghunath Das, like that, Prayojan Tattva, the Rupa Nuga line. And when we were in Vrindavan and going on Parikrama, we're going to, it's called Ucha Gaon, or with Lalita Bar, the house of Lalita Sakhi is there. And we went there and, you know, I remember meeting one little girl, you know, some they see you and then they want to like walk with you everywhere, the locals. It's not so populated with people and pandas or anything. Just some local children came by, fascinated by our group. This little girl was walking with us and I said, one point I said, what is your name? And she said, Brajalata. It's like, you know, Asam aho charan ujisham ahangsam brindavane kimapi guma lato sadi. I want to be a lata, a brajalata, a creeper in Vrindavan. Once in front of the mat gate, and now if I ask these children, they're like looking through the bars. And I said, what is your name? One child said, Nayanamani Ghosh. And I went, Nayanamani? Nayanamani Ghosh? Jai Nayanamani Ghosh. So this place, so divine, when Guru Maharaj was on the Brajamandal Parikrama with Srila Saraswati Thakur, and they went to Kadam Kandi, and once Guru Maharaj expressed his appreciation for that, some years later they go to the same place and Saraswati Thakur turned to him and said, your place! And Guru Maharaj. So in this house of Lalita Sakhi, Uchagaon, when we came back this one time in Govardhan and it told Gurudev where we were, he said, that's where he felt something very deep and very special, a very deep connection there. And he said, so much so, and some divine revelation came to him that he said that he never wanted to go again, the opposite of what others would think. They think, oh, I want to go. Gurudev said, I don't want to go again because for fear that that feeling wouldn't be there a second time. So I never went again and don't want to go. I want to keep that remembrance within me. And he gave some indication, Guru Maharaj, saying, like, yes, that is your place. So if we take it, because we're told, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Guru Jana Shire Puna Shobhapaya Shataguna, we should see all these divine personalities over the head of our Gurudev. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, that's the most illuminating way. They're the most beautiful when they're above the head of our Gurudev. So Srila Saraswati Thakur said, when he looks at Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Kishore, Das Babaji Maharaj, with a very deep vision, he sees Radharani Lalita, Gadadhar, Pandit, Srup Damodar. Srup Damodar, Gadadhar, Pandit. But, and we're told in different places how we shall see Sri Guru, Mukunda Preshta, in different ways. When Babaji Maharaj, Jajavara Maharaj, and some others accompanied Guru Maharaj to Hapania after so many years, his birthplace. And they were, Babaji Maharaj, Jajavara Maharaj, saying, we take this to place to be as Barshana, like the place of Radharani. Such a high compliment they're giving to Guru Maharaj. And if we take it in this parallel of Srila Guru Maharaj, like, and Srila Gurudev, their relationship, it's an interesting parallel that, like, as Lalita Sakhi is serving Radharani and assisting in that way, we see Srila Govinda Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj, showing the same type of devotion and dedication and service to Srila Guru Maharaj. Very similar in this way. Guru Maharaj is above on his, you know, veranda and going on with his high talks, his internal dialogue, his original compositions, so many things. Right. One floor below, Gurudev, he would be moving in the plane of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, organizing all the services, taking all the responsibilities, expanding himself in this sense into innumerable forms to see that not the least disturbance will go to Srila Guru Maharaj. That's the type of servitor he is. He's not thinking of himself. He's just saying, Guru Maharaj, nothing shall disturb him, his Krishna Nam, his Krishna thought, his Siddhantic culture, his creating new scriptures, writing slogans, that shall go on unimpeded, unfettered, and whatever responsibilities there are, I'm prepared to take all that on my head. And he's boldly asserting always the position of Srila Guru Maharaj. Right? And we're not seeing it as arrogance, but rather as sweet. When Gurudev will say, one word from Srila Guru Maharaj is sufficient to make us his slaves forever. When they're comparing the delivery, the comparative deliveries between Guru Maharaj and two other godbrothers, Gurudev's example. It sounds like poetry, actually. You could put it in poetry. He said, one was like a waterfall, like furious and cascading and very dramatic, but not clear. Right? That style. Then he said, another godbrother, and it was Jajavara Maharaj. I could say, you know, he would smile. Gurudev said, like a pond, very clear, but static. He said, and Guru Maharaj? He said, like a fountain, an endless, constant stream of nectar from a fountain with ever fresh streams and currents coming from the unknown quarter. That's what he said about Guru Maharaj. So he's boldly asserting the position of Guru Maharaj, taking all the service on his head, whatever it is, to never give any trouble to his Guru Maharaj. That Guru Maharaj can go on with the high thing, and I'll deal with all these other service necessities. And the greatest magnitude of eagerness for the least seva, he cleaned the toilets of Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, fixed them happily, because he's saying, this is all service to my Guru Maharaj. As soon as Srila Govinda, and I saw this myself, as soon as Srila Govinda Maharaj would see or understand that something was service, actual service to Guru Maharaj, then he's very eager for that, to get that service himself or to see that it's done as perfectly and ASAP. So, I like to see them that way. Hare Krishna. Sri Lalita Saki Avirbha Mahamahutvatiti Hidhani.